Welcome to your Dogcast, where we feature news just for dog lovers. Here's your Rover reporter, Mary Lou Davidson.
We're joined by Bruce Cameron. He's a New York Times best-selling author of A Dog's Purpose. And Bruce, this is an amazing story, and it really it reads like one story, but it really tells the experiences of a dog going through four different incarnations, if you will. But I noticed that pretty much the same personality of the pup stayed consistent throughout the book.
Yeah, that's right. It all started with a question in my mind, which is, well, what would it be like if your dog never really dies? What would it be like if every time a dog passed, he was born anew, a puppy, and he could remember each of his lives? What would that look like from the dog's perspective? And that's how A Dog's Purpose came to be.
Mm-hmm. And as each dog is going through his own journey to find his purpose, it sort of unfolds that the way a dog sees the world is through observing and sort of positioning himself to react and be conscious of the environment. And I think a lot of us think that, you know, our dogs are just sort of peacefully coexisting, but for most of their time, they're really taking in all of this information.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, their eyes are so often just on us, and because we bred them that way. I mean, dogs evolved very deliberately at our hands and to be to work with us. And for most of their history, of course, we know that the dogs would work. But what we've done now is mostly they've become just companion animals, mm-hmm. and they care very much about us. They really... Their purpose, ultimately, if I could get my dog to quit trying to dig the stereo cables out from under the carpet and listen to me, I would tell him that his purpose is to be with me, and he would agree with that.
Right. So many of the observations that the dogs in your book make are so keen and astute. I just wondered how you kind of got your head into that zone to be thinking like a dog.
Well, thanks, because it was a challenge to write like a real dog. It's easy to personify a dog. It's easy to say, well, you know, I'll just write like a person, but, I've got four legs. I wanted to be actually into what it must be like to be a dog and to have such a limited understanding, especially of the verbal world. I mean, a dog understands a handful of words and understands them only in context. If a dog lies at your feet, it can hear every word you're saying. So they're faithful recorders. They've got very good hearing, but they don't know what you're saying. And that's what's true of this dog, is that he lives multiple lives, but he senses the world through his most powerful sense, of course, is his nose. And then he lives in a human world that's got a lot of turbulence, a lot of things going on. Some of it he is aware of, and some he's not. And of course, sometimes he's not even a he, because in one of the lives, the dog is a she. So it was easier to picture that, because it was talking about sort of limiting my perspective. The harder thing was to try to picture what it must be like to be able to smell so well, because
vividly.
My own sense of smell isn't even good for a human. And compared to a dog, it must be so amazing to go through life and when someone pets you to smell their hands and to say, oh, he's had cheese, you know?
Right. Right. I've actually talked with people who are studying that. They've coined a phrase called Umwelt,
uh-huh.
which talks about the perception of of the world by a dog through his nose. And it's really overwhelming what they must know. But one of the aspects, as you mentioned, is that a puppy or a dog would go from one life to the next. Is that something that just came to you during the planning stages of this book, or have you always felt that there might be sort of this ongoing spirituality or transcendence of a dog's soul?
Well, it actually happened that years ago I happened to be just on a mountain bike ride in Colorado, and I encountered this dog, and I stopped. I love dogs, so I stopped to talk to him, and he seemed to have the only thing I could say is that I'm going to use a trite expression. He had an old soul, and the way he looked at me and interacted with me was so similar to the way my dog Cammy, my first dog, when I was 8 years old, we got a dog, Labrador puppy named Cammy, and that dog grew up with me, and I grew up with her, and this dog that I met in the woods just acted like it was Cammy, and I took away from that a real sense of wonder and thought, could it be that I just encountered my dog, born again? Well, and then, well, maybe. I mean, certainly that sort of thing is outside my understanding. I can't pretend to have the answer to that question. So that started me down the path of thinking about it. What would that be like for a dog? Maybe some of the things that we call instinct are learned behavior from previous lives. And so all of that came together and eventually gave me the book, A Dog's Purpose.
Interesting. So clearly your love of dogs has been a lifetime pursuit, and it's something that you transferred to your kids. And in fact, one of your daughters was or is pretty involved with rescue.
Yeah, I've got a daughter who she runs a rescue in Denver, and it's called Life is Better Rescue. And it's something that is such a passion of hers that it kind of puts my love for dogs to shame. I mean, she'll have, at any one time, she may have 7 dogs running around. You know, she only owns a couple, but she's always fostering dogs, and she has rescued more than 250 animals this year, including, it's a menagerie of, you know, rabbits and even a chicken one time. So I think that I can't hold a candle to that. But bless the people who are involved in rescue, because honestly, it is such important work. It reduces suffering of animals who, through no fault of their own, find themselves in really unfortunate circumstances.
Definitely. Well, I think the embedded message of, that a dog can go through the spaying and neuter process in your book and not be any the worse for wear is so important to get out there, because that will help, it'll help tamp down the population and ergo the euthanasia rate.
Exactly. What made this book so fun to write was the joy that dogs bring to every experience. And it was really important to me to show that when the dog is going through what we consider to be pretty bad circumstances, the dog is basically happy, because that's how dogs are. And the trip to the vet is a little irritating, because when the dog wakes up, there's this stupid cone around his head so that he can't mess with the wound for a few days. And that's it as far as the dog is concerned. That's the irritation. That's the problem. I don't see dogs that have been spayed and neutered don't act like they are mourning the loss of the ability to reproduce at all. They just don't even really know about it, in my opinion.
Right.
And it is important, and I'm glad you pointed that out, because it does happen throughout the book that the dog at the right time, every time it's been reborn, it goes to the vet and gets that stupid cone put on, and that's just that's just so important.
Right. Well, one of the sort of underlying themes of each of the dogs that you profile in the book is this unconditional love that they have for their owner, and just so happy just to be in their presence. It's a book that I think all dog lovers will find close to their heart, but also the people who haven't had a dog yet, I think, would benefit from understanding that bond can grow and is there. So do you see a sequel in the future?
That is such an interesting question, because yesterday I sent the finished draft of the sequel to my publisher. So, yes,
wow.
I do see a sequel. I just saw it.
So you heard it here on the Dogcast.
That's right.
That's fabulous. So we should be looking for that in a year or so or less?
It'll be out in right now they're thinking June of 2012, but that date is a little squishy, but it will come out in the summer of 2012.
Okay. Well, thank you for bringing us Bailey and Ellie and all of the fabulous stories about the people who owned these lovely dogs and the joy that they brought to the people. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a real pleasure to write A Dog's Purpose.
Well, we hope you'll come back and talk to us about the sequel.
Ah, will do.
Okay. Thanks so much, Bruce. Bruce Cameron, he's the author of A Dog's Purpose, the New York Times best-selling book, now out in paperback. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the One World Pet Podcast. For more information about this podcast, please contact Mary Lou at oneworldpet.com.